and they added all the others, we really had a pretty decent driving bunch.
Now, you're talking about the year 23?
They're opening, yes, 23.
Dessert, yes.
But the first year, they had more instructors than they had the students. And six, and Dr. Bernal's going in for good measure, and 16.
Well, that was only the opening day, of course. There were a few more. Jack Hostler was number 7.
Well, Jack Hostler's an old one, as you know, when you read the letter.
I haven't read it.
You know, I never realized in a phrase years ago, Margaret Murray told me how hopelessly he was in love. I didn't know. I was too busy to find out. He had a dear little sister named Amy, and it seems to me she entered with our class, too.
Well, I knew Frances. She was much younger.
Well,
Frances came up and when
Del
I...
Delbert.
And Del. I knew Del.
Amy's death is one of the most pathetic things I ever watched.
Oh, I didn't know there was another Hostler girl besides Fran. Did she ever come up to the college? Is that right?
And I remember that she entered with a...
Yeah, out of their own apple.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Their own apple.
How does that look? Pickle apple pudding.
Tommy, look at this. This is wild honey.
Oh.
Is that rich?
Wild honey.
What's an apple got?
It is.
They are delicious.
Delicious,
I like them, but they're not half as good as a Gravenstein. I don't think I get my voice protected to Marie.
Why should you? You've been every place we've been in.
No,
you're getting quite a tape puller.
Well, I've got.
I'm dying to ask Elizabeth to tell one story.
You might have to clean it up a little bit. So.
Because I'd like to hear it again because I forget who it involved. The marshal who was on the river.
That was published in the book, so it'll go through the mail.
What book?
We've never been down.
No, I
can't remember. It was in Dad's book. Jack Hillard was the one that told me. And I can't remember for sure, but my recollection is that the marshal that was involved was a man named Nichols, very, very fine man. And he made a trip over to Sitka to pick up a witness. I think she was a full
woman. I
remember the story now. But anyway, he brought her over on the old.
In the southwest.
I think it was called the Elspeth, a little boat that ran up there, a little launch. So they made these trips between Juneau and Sitka, and he brought her back
American
to.
Company
brought her back to Juneau to appear in his trial.
Was
with us.
Well, it was the southwest is only one, and that would be.
They asked her if she'd been subpoenaed.
Yes, it was Tumab.
And she said yes.
Tumab up in the extreme northern part of
the Mr. Nichols subpoenaed me. She says she once saw the boat coming over and once in the hotel after we got the
with
Frank. He may have served a double subpoena on her, I don't know. But it sounds very funny from the stand.
But Falkenbridge has just brought in a couple of property in the central part of the
company. Have you been subpoenaed? What did it do to the
jurors?
Oh, dear. Rope him up a little bit, huh?
He said it wouldn't have been so pathetic.
Tommy tried some of your
Nichols had
this. This is a true story.
Oh, absolutely.
What court do you think it happened in Juneau?
But anyway, this fellow Nichols was such a particularly fine, exemplary man. That's what made the story so sad. You and I know people who gyrated around the courts that would have been capable of beating him 2 or 3 times. But Tup Nichols.
The western part of it is probably the greatest desert.
Yeah, Dad used to tell that one, too.
Then they have this mountainous
that was a
section.
Long time ago.
Oh, yeah,
no, type of
I remember the day my father came home from court and he was just in stitches because I think the jury must have been sitting on a. This is my childish memory.
Yeah.
On a plank, you know, between two chairs.
Could be.
And somebody got up
and
let the other hand on the forefront. No part on the forefront.
I wonder where that must have been down the river.
It could have been on the floating part, as they call it.
Dad, I have some of the grandest pictures of that. They were taken on that floating court. They took a floating court. Judge Cushman, who later became very famous around the world, came up to Alaska. Oh gosh, long ago, and took Jalen Green and Lakin and Casper. Oh, the fellows from Valdez in the court there. And they went west on a revenue card. Caponi Court, all through the Aleutian Islands, fried cases all over.
This might have been one of the first floating courts.
That was the first.
Yeah.
And Judge Cushman, Judge Cushman, and he was a man that became very famous for his harsh sentences. He believed in swift and strong and harsh justice. And Cushman Street, I believe, was named after him. I'm not sure, but I think it is. They're named after judges, you know. Judge Cowles, Judge Cushman.
Well, I think Cushman. No one's ever told me, but the only other Cushman I run into is a Francis W. Cushman, who was representative to Congress from the state of Alaska, who introduced the bill in Congress to allow Alaska to have a delegate, 1905 or 6. And he was always the friend of Alaska, and he was the representative from King County or Seattle area.
No, I see.
So Cushman Street might have
Francis
been that.
Francis W. Cushman.
I thought it was named after Judge Cushman.
Do you know who's Cushman
Street?
Sounds
like Francis X. Cushman.
No, that was Bushman. we can remember him, too.
Right, very well, indeed. That dates us, doesn't it?
What's your the name Cushman Street?
Cushman.
No one knows. I don't know, but this is the only Cushman.
I thought they were named after judges.
What about Lacey?
No.
Cowles was a judge.
Well, Cowles was a...
Lacey was a judge, wasn't he?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't think they were named after
judges. Well, Cushman's the man that took the first floating court, I can tell you that.
Well, now this is
I've different. Got all the pictures.
But he never got up that far north. He never got
to Fairbanks.
That's
he
right.
He wasn't in Fairbanks.
No.
He took the Aleutian floating court.
Tell about that subpoena.
I did.
Yeah, I like that story. That's a good one. I don't know if I can include that in my book.
Oh, you wouldn't. I've got several that you'd have to fumigate.
That's southeastern Alaska, you know. We got to keep this in the northern area.
Jack Hillard and Ed Walcott and Jack Robarts and I used to talk about a book we were going to write. And I said, of course, it never goes through the mail. But when you read the stuff that you see now, and it would go through and be called a Sunday school lesson.
Right.
Anything goes.
You know, I missed an awful lot in the few years that you were living and I wasn't.
I want to tell you, I've been living it up for almost 70 years and I haven't missed a stroke. It's a fabulous century. And, you know, this is the most marvelous century of all time, I'm sure.
It's certainly the most.
From the time we lived by a lighted candle and landed on the moon.
Florence, on that floating court, didn't your father float down
the
river every summer to Iditarod.
Well, the floating court that Cushman took out went out about 1900 and 10 or 11 or 12.
He started in 12, my brother. Mm-hmm.
And he was a judge on land lease up here?
He must have been, because he took the Juno. He took the Valdez group. He took Lakin.
Now, who was Lincoln? District
Lacon,
attorneys and attorneys.
Lincoln was either the district attorney or, yes.
Well, he
and,
was recognized the name.
J. Lindley Green, who didn't know beans when the bag was open, he was in the group too. Dad spent most of his time jobbing him, you know, making him uncomfortable. But I've got pictures of this floating court, and they went west, and they went on the Manning, the SS Manning.
Of course, my father went down the Ruby Night.
Well, you see, you had the river. He had the river.
There were two floating
father?
Courts.
Was it Dillon?
Pocahontas,
Judge
Dillon,
No, there's another one named. Because they were cleaning up the calendar for... I always wondered how you cleaned up a calendar.
I
don't know.
For a judge,
something. It began with H, didn't it? Not Hardy or
what is it?
What are you talking about?
Brown.
The Judge
Brown.
Judge Brown. There was
a Judge
Brown.
Brown.
Oh, well, there was a Judge Brown.
Was
many
he
years.
The fourth division?
Helen Brown,
Frederick
his daughter,
Brown.
Was one of the most beautiful girls they ever
had. Well, not of the North, I don't think.
Well, Judge Fuller was before your dad.
Fuller preceded.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, then my father must have been traveling to the other division to clean up Brown's calendar.
He used
that's
to.
What.
That's very good.
Oh, your dad? Didn't your dad used to fill in that Valdez occasion?
Yeah. Well, that's how he got in on the Dempsey thing.
Was
he was down there on a borrowed assignment.
You mean when Dempsey killed Isaac Evans?
Yes, he
was.
Was
in the Black Bear case.
Oh, yes.
That
my father
was
down
in the
Iditarod. It was a mail train.
No, I don't know.
That was quite a case, though.
Did it result in a hanging, maybe?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, then I don't think I know the Black Bear case.
Oh, that was a very famous case.
I don't know.
Infamous.
I got.
The Coke Hill came up to relieve somebody, and then.
Well, Coke, of course, was the commissioner downriver. And then he came up as assistant district attorney.
Then he was judge in LVs and in. Then they were in Fairfax, too.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in their house.
I knew Coke Hill when he was judge, but.
He died right here.
Did he?
Yes, of course.
Well, I'm so glad.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you write that book? You've got more stories than I've ever heard. I can't reproduce those. Why don't you sit down sometime with a tape recorder? Oh, I don't. You know.
I think possibly I have a fantastic memory for detail, what I call trivia.
That would be a good reason.
Memory is a matter of recency, anyway, frequency, or intensity, purely and simply. And
I guess there are
we went through the same thing for a fire and earthquake. Anyway, I was only five in a few months.
Just about.
And yet my sister and brother don't remember, or didn't. They're both gone now, and I can remember as that happened yesterday.
Is that so?
And just a couple of years before Dad died, Dad, do you remember the 9 days?
Well, maybe you would. I don't know.
After you moved this up at the Jefferson Park, which is now called something else that's on our
track. Better than brewed coffee for 2 people, 1 person.
He had been out the night before to some kind of a lodge meeting, and he wore a swallowtail, I don't know, some sort of rig, and he had taken off his striped trousers that Prince Albert was wearing, and they were over the back of the chair, and my father was to be in the surgery, and every time there was a fire, he had his pants on the back of his shirt, somebody else's pants on or something, see. But anyway,
I don't know why
he somehow got himself into these swaggy trousers, and we were living on Golden Gate Avenue, and he wanted to move us to safety.
I don't know.
Earthquake happened there in Montreal, and my sister and I slept in a murphy bed, and my brother slept on a cot. And he got up, my brother, who was very protective, and he said, "Don't worry, don't worry. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's just a burglar dynamiting the front door." And I suppose that was a calculated to comfort us.
Yeah,
we were being dynamited. But anyway, Dad rushed out, and they went down to the foot of the street, of course, looked down Van Ness, and of course, by this time, the smoke was beginning to billow. Then we loaded what little we could, and by this time, he had gotten an old wagon, but no horse could be found, you know. So he acted as the horse and loaded the wagon and moved us up to the park.
You were living on Golden Gate.
We were living on Golden Gate Avenue, and he moved us up to the park. And I said to him, "Now, Dad, Robert and Margaret are always poking fun at what I claim I remember, but I want to tell you a few things, and you tell me if I'm right."
You were 6 years old.
I was five. I was five the 1st of January, and the earthquake happened in April. And anyway, I said, "Now, you remember, if you think real hard now, you covered me with a Hudson Bay blanket, and it was dark red, and it had a stripe about that wide, one stripe, black. And when I woke up, cinders were falling on my face, and I heard somebody playing a piano across the park." And you know, I was always bringing up things that happened aboard these sailing ships that I was on, and I had that kind of a memory. Now, I remember the first thing I remember, I was barely three, or maybe not quite. And it was my ambition to go to a funeral.
And then later,
because we had a perfectly charming graveyard up at the Nushagat River Country, and we used to play around it as little children. I wanted to go to a funeral. So my mother told me, "All right, if I'd be a good girl, eat both of my muffins, I would go to the funeral." And I was sitting in a high chair. Now, I remember this. And I ate one muffin. And then I tossed the other one onto the high chair. And I thought, because I couldn't see it, now, my mother was quite a taskmaster, you may remember. She put me to bed, and I missed the funeral. But I made a trip out on a ship one time, and kids were always poking fun at my bringing up. And I brought up an incident to my father that happened aboard this ship. He said, "There's no question about the fact that you remembered, because I've never forgotten from that day to this." And
you called it perfectly.
And that's because It wasn't fiction, and it certainly wasn't recent. It had to be intense. So therefore, the reason probably that I retain these vivid memories and things that say, how do you remember this trivia, you know? Is because I was so enormously interested in everything that was going on.
It was not trivia to you.
I mean, it was exciting and vital, and I remember. Just as though it happened last night. I can remember things.
You can see the whole scene right now.
I mean, just like, and you know, other people say, well, why bother to remember that sort of stuff? It really isn't important, you know.
Well, my earliest memories are funny, but one of them, I'm sure, it was because of the intensity.
It's got to be, because you see, it wouldn't be frequency, it wouldn't be recency.
We were living in Valdez, and there was a convent school across the street from us. And I couldn't have been over four, maybe three.
Where their property was confiscated.
Because we moved when I was five.
Yeah.
And I remember, I don't remember that there was a fire in the convent, but I remember coming the next day, somebody took me over to see it. There had been a fire. In this corner where the harp stood, and the harp was very intensely interested. The harp wasn't there, and there was a black hole in the floor.
Where they
and I knew the harp had gone through
right to the floor. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you see, that was a 3 or 4 year old memory.
What kind of a, was it? Was it a, what did you say it was?
Well,
it was
a convent. The sisters had a little school.
Oh, did the sisters have a little?
And they almost invariably have a harp.
And I went over.
Oh, sure.
So my first education was in a Catholic church, and we were pretty ecumenical.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. We'll pass
for that
you.
Time.
I graduated from the Catholic school. I'm proud of it. It was a good
teacher. Yeah. Well, after all, let's recognize it. You see, we didn't have the state system or territorial system of education.
Well, that was why I graduated.
That was all there was.
My mother put me in Catholic
school.
Keep an eye on me.
Well, that's one reason, too.
Lock you up?
They're supposed to.
No, but he, you know, my father was a very special bond between my father and me, and it was a very healthy one. There was nothing frightening about our relationship ever. We were awfully good friends, right to the moment he died. And when he died, he said, now he told me this. He said, now there's a book in my eyes, and I want you to be with me, and I don't want anybody else. And I said, why? He said, because Margaret's gloomy, Robert would be worse scared than I am.
I don't know.
And it just so happened, quite by accident, that I was alone when he died. But there was this great bond between my father, yes. My father and me.
When did he die?
1951. He died on Thanksgiving Day. And the day before, I said to my stepmother, we're going to cook a turkey because I know we can't keep him much longer and he'll smell it for cooking, you know. And he'll quit his Thanksgiving. It makes no difference to him that it is. So he said, I think it's Thanksgiving. I smell the turkey. And he said, yes, that's right. And the next morning he was gone. So I was always glad we did it.
Was that Nick?
No, he died. All right. But anyway, she died a number of years later. My stepmother. Died in Seattle.
When did your mother die?
My mother died on New Year's Day. There are 6 days you can't forget.
No.
1937.
37.
Uh-huh.
Can't be. And I like it.
You know that my mother was gave people the impression that she was much more straight-laced than she was. She was much warmer person than she allowed anybody to know she was. And I will tell you, she was a very fine woman. Very fine woman.
I think my mother said so.
Oh, yes, and my mother was a fine woman, too.
I think they admired each other.
And, well, of course, you know, as I told you before, mother and dad, your dad and my mother were somehow second removed kissing cousins, you know.
Mm. Are they?
Oh, yes, they figured that all out years ago.
Oh.
Her family, a branch of her family and a branch of his, something down around Sunbury.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know, maybe up around Delaware Wall and got Stroudsburg. But anyway, they tied it all in.
Yeah, because his folks were up at Montrose.
You know, anyway, they tied it all up, the two of
them. Well, did your folks come from Pennsylvania?
My mother was born in Kingston, which is a suburb of Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah.
And Dad was born in Illinois, raised in Kansas, and educated in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So
when did he first come to Alaska?
96.
Oh, boy. He came
that was early for him.
Well, he came the same year as my father. My father was a young man, came
came out from Michigan to work in the mines in Treadwell.
Yes, that's right. You remember the Hearst Chichikov?
Oh, yeah, that was a big...
Well, Jenny Cleveland controlled the Hearst Chichikov at one time, and she would keep selling stock so she could live. It's now been flooded for years, you know, had not been operated. And she had quite a block of stock left, and she said, "Now I want..." She made a deal with my father this way. She said, "I'm going to turn over to you this block of stock, with the understanding that if I have a crippling stroke, which I expect she would, and linger, that you will care for me until I die. And if I have a stroke and die, you will give me a decent funeral, a good headstone, pay all my expenses, and the stock is yours. And then it is to go to Elizabeth." It took me until after Robert died to get my hands on the left of that stock.
Really?
And, of course, it had dwindled then to, I think there's something like 18,000 or 20,000 shares or something. But at one time, she controlled the Hearst Chichikov, not the Chichikov.
That's
she
right,
kept selling her stuff to the Chinese consul in Seattle, named Wu Yip. Now, his son signed the certificate that my brother, without talking to any of us, had the stock transferred to his name. So when he died, you know, I went up for his funeral. Before the will was offered for probate, I said, "Now, I want you to locate this stock before you make a list of the assets, because then morally, is mine." And I said, Mrs. Cleveland didn't know who the other children were. She knew Howard, and she liked him.
What were you looking for?
I just today, out of my cedar chest, dug up, and I'm going to take with me the beautiful ornament stole she gave me. She always said she loved me as a daughter. She didn't tell me this, but somebody else did. Her daughter, she had a daughter. But when she and her husband were separated, the daughter went with the husband. She never told me that. I knew the son. He was no good. So she thought of me as a daughter, and so that's why she wanted me to have this. You know, it just took me forever and ever to get my hand.
What's the wonder you ever did if it wasn't written down?
Well, it was.
In the will.
It was just amongst my father's assets. But you see, when he made his will, it was just a carte blanche deal. He made it this way. Robert was to serve as the executor, and if he decided he didn't want to, I would not. That was the way to set up something. And then, without ban or anything.
On the eastern slope of the mountains,
and with just certain overall bequests, Robert had a free hand, see? And I kept wondering where this stock was. Now, he knew what that stock was. Every way was mine. It's absolutely worthless. It isn't what the paper is written on. But the principle of the thing bothered the daylight. You know? I never did feel good about it. It's like, oh, now I haven't even bothered to transfer it to my name. I got to do it.
There was a lot of
classical only tell me Kennecott Copper now.
But it's all been the cream of all.
Well, you can't tell.
And the milk too.
Sometimes these things over a period of years.
Never mind, Sweetie Pie. I own almost 100 acres out on Bristol Bay that's inside the oil reserve. If everything ever comes in, the children will spend it on me.
Was in Panama. But for the Inca gold was in.
But you know, we had a wonderful life in Alaska. And you know, Jim, the thing that breaks my heart is that there are a lot of us left that were scattered, and it is a diary. But it doesn't make a bit of difference what you say. You get together a group, I don't care where it is, even just like the bunch that was down the other night. And they're special. The people are special, and you can say anything you like.
They are in the same block.
Half of those didn't have anything in common except the word Alaska.
Yeah. Well, that's
some of them were married into the.
Some of them were married into it. Some of them hadn't been near the University of Alaska. Maybe they lived there.
Well, we were kind of centralized. Well, we were kind of all around the university.
More like they old.
By marriage, maybe.
Well, somebody like Lucille Allen.
Jim, her father's been so.
Her husband would not be
very variable in the last.
Oh, did he? Oh, no. You mean Harvey Sullivan's daughter?
Could be there.
Yeah, that's who you're talking about.
That's one.
That's right.
His brother is the mayor of
Vancouver. Her father was a marshal in Valdez.
A marshal. I know. Oh, she's Alaskan, but I mean, not university.
Not university. That doesn't mean it didn't happen after
I think some of those people never went to the university.
Oh, no. You were talking about Hutchison or somebody?
Lucille Allen. Harvey Sullivan's daughter. Harvey Sullivan was a very well-known man. He was Marshall Valdez for years.
Columbia.
Old friend of mine.
Well, she, which meeting was she at?
She was there.
He was there the other night.
Our meeting.
Oh, at Palo Alto.
At Dinah Shack.
Oh, yeah. You see, I've had a meeting in between.
Yeah, the people sat across from us at our table, where we started to sit and we left. Names are Smith, and he's the one that left. Now, he knows Howard real well, so of course we had that conversation down. But you know, there are people scattered around. When did Gravikoff ever go to school?
Not very long. He went when I went. Did he, I think? Maybe 33 to 35. No, just a couple of years. He didn't graduate. Yeah, well, at least 1 year. I know he was in some mathematics class with me, but I can't remember whether it was my freshman year or so.
Did you follow Brown or who did you follow?
What, as a teacher? Oh, well, I was a student there from 33 to 37.
Who was your professor?
Duckering was head of math.
Well, Duckering came, you see, Duckering was there after I came back.
Yeah.
Tuesdale was our first.
Was he?
Mm-hmm. Tuesdale came in with the original six, didn't he?
That's right.
Tommy, who did you have?
Have you been
teacher?
In many?
Which year did you have for teachers?
We had Tuesdale in math when we were there. Brown came later.
Went down the Tonka River and stayed in those old fortress defenders.
We have friends
we had two math professors. Chase was one. Roland Chase.
Ron.
I had, well, that was after my time. She and I had Tuesdale.
You preceded Tuesdale.
Tuesdale was gone.
Tuesdale only stayed 2 years.
And then there was red-headed, shy fellow. Remember him, Gene?
Well, that was your old home ground
during your freshman year.
Well, he was
no.
He took trigonometry.
So
Chase.
Many of those were okay.
Huh?
Chase was there. How many were in Beirut?
I've got a couple of old catalogs over here, so
that's
this might.
Really need.
Yeah, this would reflect your. This would refresh your memory here.
Elizabeth Kirkpatrick came in with the first six, and then she was replaced by
Martha Park.
Martha Park, and then we had Lydia von Hansen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then she was followed by
Aline Sewell and Lola
Kramer.
Lola's still
there. Yeah, Lola's
still
around.
She retired, but she and Grace, she married Grace.
She was killed with all the
women. Aline Sewell was
when you read that, now this was before the college opened.
We enjoyed her so much.
This, I think, your dad sat down and wrote out.
I've got an original one of these things. I've got my original catalog.
Jane, I remember part of the name. It was Scheimer or something.
No, who?
Organ Scheimer.
Who is this?
This was
the
math.
I know who you mean. I know.
No, that's not right.
Scheimer. That was the last part.
Organ Scheimer.
Holzheimer.
No.
Holzheimer.
You mean why you were there?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't recall.
That's not right. There was,
here we are.
That's the first.
Who was
you
the one
that
had
that
beautiful wife? Linton Morgan was our botany teacher. Herbert Bruce was our chem teacher. Tuesdale was our math teacher. Ernest Patty was the mines. Pilgrim was also in mines. Patty was geology and mineralogy. Mm-hmm. And Earl Pilgrim was in engineering
and
metallurgy.
After Tuesdale was...
Then Laverne Burrell, of course, as I said, was the first
faculty. Now, the next faculty, the next bulletin after that had Charles Bunnell, Robert Q. Brown,
Ladessa
Hall, Ruth Catherine Trail, Leslie A. Marchand, Clinton H. Morgan, Ernest H. N. Patty, Earl Pilgrim, Archie Truesdale, G. Raymond Hood.
I just dropped two of them.
Next teacher after that was
Lester Dawson.
The last part
of it. I'm trying to remember what mine. This is what mine looks like.
That's number two. I think that's
number
two. This was preliminary.
Yeah, that's not quite
and
right.
Notice the date now. This was put out in July 22,
yes,
before the college opened.
Right.
Yes, Dorothy went the first year, my sister.
That's right.
And I went the second year.
That's right. You and I were a rollicking great big bunch of students.
This was April 24. Well, if you look in the back, you'll probably find your name.
What? Probably.
I was a business manager for the Collegian. Don't even remember.
Now look back here.
How about
now?
That?
There you go. There's your roster.
Dear Margaret, she told me, she said, Elizabeth, I'd have never graduated if it hadn't been for you. She said, I could have
who
never
was that?
Margaret Murray. She said, you took me through chemistry and I had to have them all.
There was one junior.
Now here we are. Here we are. We've all got to be in here. Here I am, Helen Elizabeth Roman.
There you are.
Now,
Florence Hageroff.
Oh, you bet you're here. Don't you worry.
You know, to make you all happy what I'm doing.
Chester Cage.
Well, I'm putting in the names not only of all grandchildren.
Earl Foster went in the first class, so he mustn't have just not passed.
But I'm listing the first 100 matriculants.
Oh, I see.
So you can see if you get in that stuff. You may well, of course, Art and Ted and all those, and you may well be, you'll be.
Oh, yes, I was Donald
Moore. Well, you'll be well within that 100, I'm sure.
Right.
Here's the special beginning. See, here's Blanche Ethel Boyle.
Yes, the first 100. Blanche, you made the first 100.
She was sure.
I don't think of Ethel.
And Ruthie Baumberg.
Her name would be there. Ethel Bailey.
Here's Ethel Baumberg.
Oh, yeah, she was number, she was number four or five on the
list. Yeah, she was in the first year.
You know, she did
but
live.
Josephine
and I've lost track of her.
Well, we heard from her when we dedicated the building. You were there. Remember that we had the dedication and unveiled the bronze and all that. Yeah.
John,
well, she sent us a tape recording for the occasion.
Oh,
so she
well,
was.
Well, Arthur Loftus and Ted are both listed as freshmen along with us.
I think she's still down the peninsula.
Well, they hadn't made up their mission.
But they might not be Murray anymore.
Because Jules is listed as sophomore. But Donald Morgan kept on. You know, Donald Morgan finally wound up in Colorado Springs,
yes.
I think, and died there.
I think
tuberculosis.
He died,
Yes. Well, it says, now, Earl doesn't really didn't pass the first year because he certainly entered the first, as I recall.
Who?
Earl Foster.
I think he was a fairly good student.
Well, he must have picked up somewhere.
Oh, yeah, there must have been.
I had an interesting interview with Edby Davis last week. And Edby, of course, was talking about Roden, who was the first number one on the roster.
Well, he just started.
But Roden had no brain.
No, he stayed 1 year and they gave up.
Well, I remember Roden.
They had a blind spot where Roden was.
Well, Roden, there's something wrong, really. I can remember him. He was
not too well coordinated.
He was in engineering class, and he would sit up on those high drafting stools and fall asleep and fall off.
Oh, really?
I think
he just didn't have a he was not college material.
Roden.
I wish somebody would go back and get me a copy of one I wrote the article for about the Indians, because I have somebody that wants a copy, and I've only got one that won't give it away.
What copy are you talking about?
I can't remember.
The Collegian?
Yeah.
I can run off, if you want something, I can run it off on a Xerox and send it to you.
Somebody wants
anytime.
And I can't remember, I've got so much to jump with. When I think of all the stuff I saved, nobody
you
worked
so hard.
Throws away
the again.
No, I'm
nobody. So the basement's full, and the attic's full, and the
Marie, would you have
then I fell there, and all of my fathers and all of my brothers.
Candy?
So I have a
whole
hopeless.
Well, it's probably
Mrs.
C's or something.
The kids want to keep it, and I don't dare to burn it. Oh my gosh. I don't know.
I have one of those.
But anyway, I would really love to have another copy of that. But
well,
I can't remember.
Tell me, Elizabeth, what article it is and what
well,
it appears.
Well, I can't tell you what I'll do when I come back. Well,
send me a little note, huh?
Yeah, when I come
there's
back.
There's Bill Cash and University of Alaska. They know me by this time. My heart, my God, after 28 years.
You know, Jean, I thought I think that sometime if I collect my wits, I'll simply sit down and write you, if I can, so you can read it.
Yeah.
The activities of our class, because while we weren't big, we were busy, you know.
Oh, we were active.
Mm-hmm.
And we did build the first bonfire, and we did put up the first pennant, and we did get that goat.
Yes, we
and
did.
And you know, Blanche Cascade and some of them, I made a special trip to town to get that damn goat.
Jack Martin.
And we went to Albina Miller's father, and he had a whole bunch of goats. And he had a perfectly beautiful, the only white one.
How come he had the goats?
So that's the way he fed his kids goat milk. And they resorted to everything. But anyway, the only white one we had was a mother goat, and she was nursing her young. And
she couldn't be separated.
We would take,
no.
I said we would take very good care of it.
Yes.
And he, on that promise, he allowed me to take her. So Jack Martin and I took this goat in the back of a Ford. I guess it was my father's Ford. Drove it out to the university, and we painted a great big 27 on one side and a little 26 about that high on the other and turned it loose on the dance hall floor. Well, it made the sophomores sore. Of course, they rounded up the goat and threw it out the upstairs window and landed by a miracle of God on its fore feet and didn't break a leg. Jack and I went down,
got
and picked
it,
up put
it in the
and
board,
took it back to Mr. Miller. Now they could have.
They threw the goat out the window from
that's
the
right.
third floor.
No, from the second floor.
Yeah.
Now, if that bunch of fellows had had as much get up and steam as we had,
right.
they would have gone down and taken that goat and made us pay for it. But no, sir, they allowed Jack and me to go down and pick up the same goat that we brought out there and take it right back to the man we got it from. Now, I say we had a lot of steam. We didn't have much bulk.
We did.
We had plenty of get up and go.
I take it you were classmates.
Yeah, we were. In the fall of
23, you were enrolled.
Now, Margaret really came in that year, you know, as a senior.
Yes, that's right.
And she could not graduate unless she had credits in chemistry.
And she was not good in chemistry.
And she, listen, I felt so sorry for her, I could try. I loved her dearly, but not as much as I did later. I came on to her one day. She was at
the first
table, and she was just muddling along in her experiments. And you remember, you and I, it was a breeze
yes,
for us.
Yes, it was. See? I loved chemistry.
Say, and of course, I went in.
And we loved the professor.
Yeah,
Margaret,
and we went into. I went
mean
in
to the literary.
We picked out the table we wanted the best, and it was right at the window, right alongside of that hood where we created all of our awful stinks.
Yes.
You remember?
Yes.
And Clarence Iceberg and I and Chester Tripp, and then if we didn't get saddled with Alda Herzer, I don't know how, but we did. She didn't know beans was doing that. But anyway, we had her. But anyway, Clarence Iceberg, you remember how good he was.
Oh, very good.
And I'll never forget the day that they came in, we were working on a tough one. And he said, how would you like a chew of tobacco? I said, I'll try anything. So I took the glass of tobacco.
That's Elizabeth.
And I took a hunk off of it, and you never saw him spit out so fast in your life. I came in and Margaret was at the table and she was working in the afternoon and she looked pretty
she was not a natural for chemistry.
No. And I said, come with me. So I took her over to my table and put her stuff in my drawer along with mine. It's locked up too, as I say. And literally, she'll tell you this herself.
Had you known her before?
No.
Or was this just a...
No, I just met her when she came. No.
Well, she came in as a senior, but she had to have a chemistry to graduate.
Yeah.
Well, she's had her 3 years elsewhere.
She said, I'd have never made it, she said. I literally did. And I loved doing it, mind you.
Yeah.
But it was effortless for you and me.
Yeah.
You know, no glory should attach
it for me. I needed you.
No glory should attach to anybody that finds it easy for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
You know, it was effortless for me. And it was so tough for the others. They're the ones that should have been rewarded.
Well, math is
yeah.
the same way. And
well,
I can
that's math.
It.
Yes,
yeah.
I love math.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I did. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, I get the people in there, you know, they have to have this basic math course to graduate. And it just isn't their cup of tea. But they're wonderful people. They're going to be wonderful in life. And more than once I've kind of closed my eyes and given them the passing grade. And they've done awfully well.
Yes, of course.
See, by the time I took my final and from Tuesdale and I did it with logarithms and quadratics and I should have done logarithms or something. And I went in and I said, what was my grade? And he said, well, you did it a little bit wrong, but he said, you didn't use the method you should have, but he said, I'll tell you this, it was such a beautifully done paper, and the logarithms were all absolutely right. The quadratic, I guess, equations. He said, it was just good, I let it alone. He said, besides, I'll tell you something, I never grade anybody on their final paper. It doesn't count. I said, why the hell did you tell me before you gave me the stuff?
Now you tell us.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
yeah. I know how you feel. I know how you feel. But
you remember we were taking, weren't you in the same class in college math?
Analytic.
Because we had
yeah.
to have it.
I had to. I took
I had to make it up because I hadn't had
but
it.
But I loved it.
I did too.
Analytic. Too, we took
well, I didn't go on with that.
I didn't like Analit as a student, but I've been teaching it for many years,
really?
And, or parts yeah. of it. And as finally, you know, the only way I've ever been able to learn something is to have to teach it. Then I really get in
well,
and
I
do
had
it.
Well, I had a wonderful
in
teacher in Analit because he didn't know his math very well, and it was just
that
a jump
helps.
Ahead of us,
yeah.
and he'd work all night to figure out. And he was excellent because. He knew exactly what troubled everybody
yeah.
else because it troubled him.
That's
too.
Right.
His own
that's
limitations
right.
were
yes.
right there.
Well.
But whereas Hood, the chemistry prof that followed
the Hood, yes.
And
yeah, there was no rapport at all.
He was so
Hood
brilliant that he couldn't understand
mm-hmm.
what bothered anybody.
Yeah, this is
and math too. He is wonderful in math. But
well, Florence may not remember this, but I remember one time Bruce gave us it may have been the semester final, but anyway, it was absolutely terrible, and I was literally sick and went home and went to bed. And that's going some, because you know, it was, chemistry came very easily to me.
Yes.
And the next day I met Herb Bruce. We always called him Herb behind his back.
So he was much older than the
And I said, now look, how are our papers? I sort of batted his eyes like Wally Cox, and he said, well, Miss Romer, they were pretty bad. I said, how bad? He said, they were pretty bad. So that's all he ever told any of us. He said, what's the matter with that thing? I said, I'll tell you what's the matter with it. You're so smart that it all looks simple to you. But believe me, it was all over our heads. We didn't know what we were doing. There wasn't one of us that got over 30. Not a one of us.
You did pretty well.
He just simply gave us something that was clear over our heads. Yeah. See, but it looked simple to him.
Because we were all pretty good in chemistry.
Well, there was a few of us there. Yeah. We were very good. Damn good, if I do say it myself. You and I, nice Brig, you'd have to go something to eat. You know that's true.
Of course, I know, I don't think I ever knew. Oh, this was Cliff? I worked with him for years.
He called
me
Ma, and I called him Ma.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I was very sorry when
Cliff
died.
Yeah, he cancer of some kind. Was it throat or something? Yeah.
He was a very bright boy.
And what did kill Chester Cliff?
Goodness, I don't know.
Yeah, he died young, too.
Yeah. Very young.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, Chester was a lot older than the rest of us.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. But he was such a gentleman.
Yeah, he was.
He was from Juneau, I remember.
Oh, yes, his father was 33rd, deputy was 33rd.
Mason.
Yeah. I remember Tripp. Yeah. But, he's been dead these many years.
Oh,
my goodness.
Many years.
Died in the 30s or early 40s, maybe.
I hope that wasn't valuable.
I hope it wasn't rock crystal.
No. We're holding.
Was it your rock crystal?
The only one, huh?
Of course. Naturally, they all are.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Jack Costner's death was
I was sad.
He died in Swedish hospital in Seattle, and I am
of
sorry.
TB.
I didn't
he
get
and
down
both Amy
scene.
Died.
Oh, yes.
Who's
Amy?
This now? Foster?
Jack Costner.
Oh,
way
Foster.
Back.
Yeah, well, he died. It was long after we were in school, though, because he went to Siberia, if you remember. But Amy came down to Anchorage and lived there for 4 years, and she was in the hospital. And I used to go by and see her all the time because I was in the lab there then. And they were going to take her out to the sanitarium. And I remember she was afraid that she didn't want to sleep in the dark. She didn't anticipate it. And I had a little light that my father had given me that I just loved, and there was a... You may have seen them. They were round like so, and the thing revolves around the frame. Looks like a forest fire. Very beautiful. They're very interesting. So I took it down and put it on her table. And then the day she left, I went down to the trainer, said goodbye to her, and I gave her some handkerchiefs. And I could pick up in a hurry to run from my own thing. And she never, of course, came back. And when she came back, it's not my policy. I think funerals are barbaric. I don't believe in them. Never have. But I felt like I owed it to the people who knew her, since she was being buried in Anchorage. And
she did know many people.
And, you know, I felt I owed it to the rest of you folks to tell you. You know, and I went, looked at her, which I am sorry I was called on to do. She's the most beautiful corpse I ever saw. She was a beautiful girl.
She was.
But she was just like beautiful clear wax. But you know, she was completely bloodless. She was just a poor little frail little Jack went the same way.
She died before Jack.
Yes.
Jack was a very charming boy.
Oh, Jack was a very interesting boy. You know, the reason I gave you this letter was that Jack was an interesting person, but he had one quality that perhaps I wasn't crazy about, was he had a tendency to gossip. I mean, it was sort of like a little, you know, and it makes interesting reading the letter. It gives you a slant on things happening in the school that nobody else would think of.
He grew up down in the...
Hot Springs country,
mm-hmm. and never went to anything.
He was
a little
bright
tiny
boy.
School. In the whole family,
bright boy.
Was he the oldest in the family?
Yes,
Jack,
was the oldest.
Yeah, I knew Dal, and of course I've known Frances, but I didn't know there were other children too.
I think Frances was the youngest.
Yeah, she was the baby.
I think it was Jack and then Amy.
Well, she's married to Ray
living.
Kohler. Very much so. And had two daughters, she and Ray, and they're both married and have children.
There was a Delbert, too, wasn't there?
Well, that's what I say. I don't know what became of Del.
Yeah, I don't know what
he's dead, too.
He was taller than Jack and Dark and much handsomer.
TV seemed to sort of be
in
the family.
Yes,
but Jack was a strong boy.
Oh, my, why, that picture. Look at him in those pictures.
Yeah.
He's square.
Was it TB he died of? Oh, dear.
It's no respect to her size.
No, it isn't.
But he had, of course, his great bent, his real genius lay in English, you know, and writing.
He was clever.
Yes, and that was his major.
Yeah, he wrote well.
He wrote very well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's the reason.
His first days were quite interesting, really.
Yeah,
there were some very interesting people.
When he describes the fact that he didn't approve of the play they were going to put on the second year, and that he didn't think much of either Leslie Marchand or Lodessa Nordale as a scout. These are the little touches I thought that I could trust your discretion and I just give you the letter, because they were written to me as pure gossip, you see.
Sure.
But I didn't give you a flavor. I was at Johns Hopkins.
Yeah.
Then I went back to Johns Hopkins and didn't.
Yeah.
I'm one of the few people in the history of the world that told their nose at Johns Hopkins.
I think that this is the beautiful satisfaction I get. That people trust my good judgment. They know me well enough in my length of tenure. Right?
I was just accidentally going through art, finally. I asked him to find this box of old letters. It's the one that's still gone. He hid them in the basement somewhere and forgotten where they are. He didn't hide them, but I mean, stuck them back. And it was just a coincidence that I happened to come across these letters just the day before we started down for this dinner. And that's how I happened. I read the art. I must read this letter.
Did you or somebody bring more pictures here?
I brought. I want you to look at
them. Let me take a look. Maybe Jean wants to get rid of his at the table. I don't know.
These I just happened to come across. Now this is a different shot of the same group.
Oh, yeah.
I think you possibly have these pictures in your possession. Now this one you may not have.
This is a new one.
You may not have that.
I don't know.
It's the only copy I've ever seen.
Is there a proper inscription on the back there,
yes,
Elizabeth?
There they are. I tell you who the back row is. There's 1, 2, 3, and then the second row.
Yeah.
And then this row across here. And this is Earl Pilgrim. And this is a mining class. And that's when
You've
I wrote
all
there
the names
1920,
down.
Whatever it was.
Oh,
Old Fury took all these pictures.
Well,
now here.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I've never seen the front of the building with those little two windows up front.
Well, that's the entrance. I used to go,
well,
in to go right up to
I know,
Bonnell's office.
But
originally.
This is the temporary thing, because a little later it became more. This was the way it was at first, and then they put this little one on. Then they built
probably in the winter to keep the cold.
Well, I know, but then the next year they must have built out here on these sidelines, because it was a much bigger structure in later years.
Well, now let's see here.
Let's see.
Now, this is the picture that you wanted the other night, and I've got everybody's name on that, and let me check it. Now, these are just informal. Now, here's Laverne Burrell, and here's Morgan, your first. This is Reverend Chapman. He was Clifford Smith. That is probably. Here are two good pictures of Leslie Marchand. You say you know him.
Yeah, I know.